It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday Takes on Takes edition of the show. It is draft week, very exciting week, but it is going to affect our schedule a little bit. So we're doing Takes on Takes here on this fine Monday. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, let's get weird, baby.
Was that a beer? Did you crack a beer at 9:11 this morning?
9:11 a.m. on Monday. This is an orange Coke, orange vanilla Coke, zero sugar. That's what this is.
Do you remember when you used to like sip annoyingly into the microphone all the time?
Yeah, it was the tea.
Yeah,
the Kermit the Frog tea meme.
When you cracked that Coke, it reminded me of when you used to do that all the time.
Took you back to the glory days, eh?
What, were those the glory days?
I'm not complaining. I don't know about you. It sounds like you might have some gripes, but I thought it was a good time.
We did it. Was this 500 episodes now? Did we do it?
No, we're definitely over 500. This is our 400th podcast on Megaphone. So this is our 400th Draft Dudes episode.
This is the 400th episode of Draft Dudes.
Correct.
No better way to do it than Takes on Takes on a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the stars all aligning for us.
We've got Battle of the Boards coming the next couple of days.
Yeah, we're going to kill each other. We're going
to
kill each other.
We are. I'm already ready to talk more about Jermaine Pratt. I'm already ready for it.
I am not prepared to have this conversation at all because I haven't seen your board.
Good. That's the way it ought to be. It's ready for you to see, though.
One hell of a battle of the boards with you knowing every single slotting I have and me knowing none.
Yeah, well, you'll get to see it. And we have mock drafts coming Thursday, and then we'll have the actual NFL draft to react to. Remember, we're live from Nashville at STK Steakhouse there, presented by Under Armour, Under Armour Rush Line, the latest in their performance innovation. And, of course, our fine friends at Coca-Cola, the Orange Vanilla, is our sponsor. So very excited about those events. Don't miss it. We're broadcasting live from Twitter. Follow at Draft Network LLC to keep up with all of our analysis. It is going to be fun. But before we get there, we've got this Takes on Takes to do, and we're going to have some fun on this. I'm going to give you the first one.
Go ahead. Give it to me. Can you hear the fizz?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Go ahead. Sorry, I poured it into a cup.
Okay. All right. David Bowen, good friend from Wales. He says the Raiders are going to draft Kyler Murray after a big trade with Arizona.
I want to agree with this take so badly. Actually, it's a win-win, right? Because either the Cardinals draft Kyler Murray, and then they have to get rid of Josh Rosen. And Joe Peter King saying, my Miami Dolphins have done more research on Josh Rosen than any other team in the last few weeks. Or the entire draft world goes nuclear. And after 3 months of being told that Kyler is going to go number one to Arizona, they trade the pick to the Raiders. I could even see if Arizona doesn't trade the pick, if they were to take Nick Bosa, like, Kyler has to go at four or to Oakland, right? Like, who's going to trade up with the Jets? Because San Francisco is not going to budge out of their pick. You know what I mean? Like, I think if it's not Arizona, it's going to be Oakland.
If he doesn't go number one overall, it throws off everything that I believe is going to happen in this draft.
Correct.
So, could be fun. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be weird.
Yep.
Travis Graber. The 49ers Super Bowl odds are accurate. They were
what were they?
Plus 2,000, I think.
What does that mean for those of us that don't know?
Joe, you're the one that copy-pasted the takes, bro.
You know, I meant to look this up. Their Super Bowl odds are...
They were
the
like...
The fifth highest.
I was going to say they're eighth. So they're fifth highest Super Bowl odds for San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl odds are accurate, hashtag takes on takes. They have the two most important positions locked down. Jimmy G, D Ford, DeForest Buckner with number two pick, bookends at offensive tackles, Pettis and Sherman at 36 and 67.
I say not so fast here. What has Jimmy G started 10 games in his life?
Yes.
I mean, I think they're going to be a good football team, but the fifth most likely team to win the Super Bowl?
In the division with the Seahawks and the Rams.
No, I'm out. I'm out on that for sure. And that's no disrespect for the 49ers. I just feel
there's a little bit of disrespect there, but I'm here for it.
I think that what is the opposite of disrespect? Too much respect? I don't know. That's fifth highest is just too much for me.
No, you're disrespecting them.
Well,
but I'm also disrespecting them. So I'm a hater when it comes to San Francisco, I guess. But fifth highest odds is whack.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there. That's too much for me. The respected madman says over under 2.5 of the prospects attending the draft do not get drafted in the first round.
Call me crazy, but I think they all get drafted this year.
Whoa, a clean sweep.
In the first round, let me be clear.
They're all getting drafted, yeah, but I know what you meant there with the first round.
Right. So here's they have 23. But
yeah, Sweat's staying home now.
I was going to say, does this list have Sweat on it? It does not. Okay. So the names are Josh Allen, yes or no?
Yeah. Your question.
Yeah, but I'm just going through it. I already gave you my answer.
Your answer is yes. All right, let's go. Yep.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
DeAndre Baker.
Probably.
Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown.
Probably.
Brian Burns.
Yeah.
Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Andre Dillon.
Yeah.
Noah Fant.
Yeah.
Cody Ford.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Drew Lock.
Yep.
DK Metcalf.
Oh, yep.
Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Ed Oliver.
Yeesh.
Juwan Taylor.
Yes.
Devin White, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Christian Wilkins.
Yep.
Greedy Williams.
Probably.
Jonah Williams.
Yes.
Quinnen Williams.
Yeesh.
That's it.
So I had three probablys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your 2.5.
Your probablys were DeAndre Baker, Hollywood Brown, and Josh Jacobs.
Greedy Williams. Josh Jacobs, I gave, yes. Raiders are taking him with one of those picks. Okay. So 2.5 was probably the right number. You say a clean sweep. I'll say the under.
Right. I think you're more likely to see all of them get drafted than none of them, or than three of them get passed in the first round.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it's only fitting that this important interruption is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Have you thought about what you're getting your loved one this year? Or maybe you want to give the gift of sweet-smelling Grundle Bliss to your partner. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Whether you're the only one who gets to see what's going on down there or you're one of many, do you, your partner, and everyone else a favor and introduce yourself to this revolutionary company. Manscaped just launched their brand new Perfect Package. Inside the Manscaped Perfect Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which features skin-safe technology and will prevent you or your man from cutting his nuts. Speaking of smelling nice, let's be real. No one wants to carry around that locker room smell with them. That's why I am thankful for the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep your crotchal region from sweating, smelling, and sticking. The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep that junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to this new. Give the gift that will make your Valentine's Day spicy. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off and free shipping. Ladies, this is the perfect gift for you and your man, and men, your partner will thank you. Trust me, he will thank you. And guess who else will thank you? Your balls will thank you. 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
But an interesting take. I like that take.
Yeah.
This is from, is this the sports nut that gave this to us? Is this?
Yeah, this just go to the words there, starting with Andre Dillard.
Andre Dillard will really struggle his rookie year, could even have to redshirt. Playing bigger, faster, and stronger edge rushers and having to play an offense that doesn't help him like Washington State.
Yeah, I think this is a good take. I subscribe more than I thought I would to the mobility and pass blocking potential of Andre Dillard, but to not recognize the transition ahead of him is pretty foolish because, you know, who's the best pass rusher he faced in the Pac-12? I know he's his four-year starter, over almost 1,000 pass blocking snaps at Washington State, but what was the best pass rusher he faced? Friggin' Justin Hollins?
Uchenna and Wosu?
Maybe, right? Like, not like a very long list of, you know, in terms of, you'll get a guy like Juwan Taylor, who this year faced Montez Sweat, Josh Allen, the dudes from Alabama, Chase Winovich, you know, Brian Burns. Every week, Daryl Taylor, there's somebody really good. And now, you know, I think it's a big acclimation in terms of who he's going to be blocking, as well as schematical differences. You know, the ball's coming out quick for Washington State. And Andre Dillard more or less just needed to make sure that his guy didn't get to his quarterback within like two and a half seconds. And a lot of times that just meant pushing him where he wants to go a little more than he wants to go there. So, yeah, it's a big technical adjustment as well as the caliber of players he's going to be facing in the NFL. I can see struggles. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. You know what grinds my gears?
What?
What's the narrative around Jonah Williams?
The narrative around him? That he's length?
Yeah, length. What's his arm length?
33 and 5/8. Yeah, they're longer than Dillard's.
What's the narrative around Andre Dillard?
The narrative around him is that he's the best pass blocker in the class.
Prototypical pass blocking left tackle.
Yeah.
With 33 and a half. Yeah. So shorter arms than Jonah Williams, but that's none of our business.
Weird. Our friend Trevor Joseph, as pernicious as it might be to put so much worth on only one game from a prospect, Jalte Froholt's performance against Quinnen Williams makes him one of the best day three offensive line values in the class. Also, new vocabulary for Joe with pernicious.
What does that mean?
Do you know what it means?
I know what it means, but I'm not the one with the bad vocabulary.
I don't know why I'm getting this rap on the bad vocabulary. I didn't know it, but thanks to Trevor, I looked it up, and it means having a harmful effect, especially in a gradual or subtle way.
Now, listen, I was told by somebody in our mentions the last time we talked about Froholt that we butchered his name, so we need to do a little research. I'm not going to say his first name.
That was on me. That was on
me. What, just now or the first time?
Yeah, I was the one that said it. I mean, I saw that mention, and it was actually on Takes on Takes, and I didn't pick it up. But yeah, he said that it was like the terrible pronunciation. Here's how you say it. I have the pronunciation. It's Yeldo Froholt. Yeldo Froholt. That's from Denmark. That's how you pronounce it. Yeldo Froholt.
So Froholt, he did have a good game against Quinnen Williams. Good games against Quinnen Williams are obviously a relative term, and I like him. I gave him a fifth round grade. I thought he's a pretty scrappy, mobile dude. But I do agree that you come away from that Alabama game when you watch Quinnen Williams just destroy some teams on the interior, and like he'll take the center and both guards throughout the course of the game and just whitewash them. And Froholt held his own. So I think that is a game that you can point to as kind of the resume game on his for his tape. And that's something that I do think is important, is identifying what's that game that you can hang your hat on. You don't put all your stock in that game, as he says, but I do think it's important, and I do think that certainly was Froholt's resume game. Justin Holcomb, give me great coaching with Jordan Love at quarterback. Calling it now, dude is going to be a riser for next year's draft. Hashtag takes on takes.
Who's that? The Utah State quarterback?
Yes.
I don't know anything besides him about him other than he's the Utah State quarterback.
He's toolsy.
I mean, I think I've heard that, but I have not seen him.
He's toolsy and athletic, but I think putting him in the air of a Justin Herbert or a Tua Tagovailoa is premature at this point.
Every quarterback starts off as a first rounder, right, Kyle?
Right. You start up and work your way down. Yeah. Trust me, I had Brian Lewerke as QB1 enter in 2019 or 2018 college season. So
here's something you and I have talked about, or you've talked about with me. This one, another one from the Sports Nut. He says, with the Texans D pretty strong and already having weapons around Watson, the Texans having 2 seconds will move up in the first for one of the top offensive tackles like Dillard.
Yes. trade up to 13. Miami Dolphins coming down the board. Go get yourself Jonah Williams, Houston. It's the right move for you. It's the right move for Miami, but more importantly, it's the right move for you. We'll take 55. You can keep 54. I would love that, to be honest with you.
What a negotiator you are.
Yeah, I know. We probably need a fourth round pick too, but that's beside the point. TJ says, Charles Omenihi will be a first round pick, has the tape measurables and character to be an outstanding inside or outside player. Hashtag takes on takes.
I like Charles Omenihi as much as the next guy, but I think the first round's a little bit high for him in terms of predictive and value. I'd also think it kind of comes a numbers thing, like where there's only so many defensive linemen that can go in the first round. And I think he's kind of lower on that list in terms of possibilities, that it would have to take either a monumental run and a run that continues to the point where Charles Omenihu's considered, or it would be, to me, a reach. So I will go with this won't happen. Tom Hickson says Jazz is the better Ferguson, referring to Jazz Ferguson, wide receiver. Where do you go? Is he? He's from like Northwestern State. And Jalen Ferguson.
Originally from LSU.
What's that?
Originally from LSU.
Yeah, originally from LSU. And then Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech, all-time leader in sacks in NCAA history.
Jazz is the better Ferguson.
He's higher on your board?
Yeah. Yeah, so Jazz did not make my initial watch list of 300, but I went back and I watched another 40 names to get as prepped as possible for 2019. So I have 340 names ranked on the final big board that's up on the Draft Network now. And Jazz, I think, was the last ranked fifth round grade that I assigned. And Ferguson, I think, was the second highest sixth round grade that I assigned.
So I like Jazz.
I have Jazz's tools are phenomenal.
Do you remember my response? We texted about him over the weekend. Do you remember my response to you?
No, not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I said Jazz Ferguson is who people told me Preston Williams was.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you remember like Preston Williams, like I think he had like a 31-inch vert and he ran like 6.
I don't think that was hard to identify on tape either. I really don't. I didn't watch him until I watched him, you know, like in the last month or something like that. But people were telling us that like without the character concerns that Preston Williams was like wide receiver one. I'm like,
no, dude. Right. I remember before the combine, I think, was it Lance? Somebody that I have like a ton of respect for and does a ton of great work. I think it was Lance Zierlein. Had Preston Williams like top 32 player or something like that.
Mm-hmm. We've got three more takes and then we've got tattle takes to get to.
Oh, no. Yep. Okay. Oh, and you screenshotted them this time. I love it.
Oh, yep. We're ready.
All the gray areas out. We know who gave the takes, who turned them in this time. Okay, so this comes from, I don't know who this is from.
Yeah, I messed that up. I'm sorry.
Anonymous dude or dudette has responded to takes on takes with the following take. Jelani Tavai will go ahead of Mac Wilson in the 2019 NFL draft. If he doesn't, it will be obvious that he should have within their first three seasons.
I know that Tavai has some fans out there, and to me, in the right system, he can find some success. You know, I think he's a Kyle Van Noy type player where, you know, Detroit didn't know what to do with him, but the Patriots did, and he found production there. So I think you need to get him in the right type of fit because I think they're kind of stylistically similar players. But I think Mac Wilson will get drafted ahead of him, if nothing else, for the injury and off-the-field concerns that surround Tavai and the fact that Mac Wilson is a good linebacker from Alabama. Sometimes it's that simple when you're predicting the draft. Do I think that he could have a better career than Mac Wilson? For sure, I do. Again, I do think it comes down to what scheme he goes to. Interesting player, but you know, I don't think you're just going to – you can't just ask him to play off-ball linebacker in a traditional way. You have to scheme up some stuff for him. This one comes from Charlie Gross. Jonah Williams is this year's Mike McGlinchey, an offensive lineman who will fall due to getting beat badly one time in a big game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's frustrating, right? And it's actually funny, Joe. We're seeing it with Ed Oliver now too, right? Like this cycle of, hey, he's really good. Hey, he's a top player. hey, I didn't like this rep that I saw. Top players shouldn't get beat like that. Combine comes around. Oh, you know, this guy's solid. Maybe not spectacular, but, you know, athletically gifted. And then, the draft comes around. He's a top 10 pick. Would it surprise me if Jonah Williams goes in the top 10? No, not at all. I think depending on trade options, I think the floor for him, I think the absolute floor is 23 at Houston. If he's there, it's a no-brainer pick. Would I like to see Houston get aggressive and jump up and get him? Yes, I would. I think he's a realistic option for Miami at 13. I think he's a realistic option for Detroit, Jacksonville.
Buffalo.
I mean, there's a lot of landmines there, and you generally know what you're going to get.
Yep.
And that was kind of the consensus with Mike McGlinchey. He's like, oh, well, his ceiling might not be high, but you know what you're going to get. And he went 9, and he was like one of the best rookies last year.
This is NFL Under Review, local experts on the biggest NFL stories.
The NFL Honors Awards Show was last week, and one surprise when it came to Defensive Player of the Year. This is Bear Motter with your Los Angeles Rams update from Locked On Rams. Aaron Donald would have been the first player in NFL history to win the award 3 straight years in a row, but it wasn't the case at the NFL Honors. That award this year went to Stephon Gilmore, and don't get me wrong, Stephon Gilmore had a great season. 6 interceptions, 18 pass deflected, 2 touchdowns. He had 53 total tackles. Stephon Gilmore won the award with 21 votes. Chandler Jones came in second with 14. TJ Watt with 10. Although Donald says this doesn't bother him, I see him putting this chip on his shoulder, working even harder, and coming back stronger in 2020, which is a scary thing for the rest of the NFL.
For more NFL news, subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast only on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, Joe, I have a buzzer beater, a live take submitted within the last 60 seconds.
Oh, wow. Is that because you want the first tattle take here? Because
No, I'll double dip and give you that one. Right, it's from Robert Fletcher. This is literally, we've both been mentioned on Twitter, and it was like a minute ago. Okay. As we're recording live, this take came in. Trevon Wesco will have more career receiving yards in the NFL than David Sills. It's our obligatory West Virginia take. Oh,
yeah, we have to get it in. What is it about West Virginia takes? That might happen because Trevon Wesco is probably going to have like this long career as like a blocking specialist that like has 100 receiving yards a year. But will David Sills ever have 100 receiving yards for his career?
So you don't like David, huh?
I think he's got a long course to getting on the field. You know, I really do.
He's like the Mike Gesicki of wide receivers.
Is he going to be a preferred top 3 option like this year? Like, I don't know. To me, he's got an uphill climb, and I think there's longevity with what Trevon Wesco could do. Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't think it's bad. I don't think that's bad. I want this first one. Yeah.
What a shit take this is. Gil Brandt says watching Duke's Daniel Jones reminds him of watching Tennessee's Peyton Manning. Joe, hashtag tattle takes.
I see it. We've got tall, white, and a number in the teens. You know?
They're both right-handed, too.
Right-handed?
Wow. They play the same position?
Jeez. Yeah, that's where they'll end of that list. That's the whole list of reasons why that makes sense.
What are we doing? I don't get it.
It's going to happen, brother. Okay, this one is a tattle take. Mike Renner, PFF Mike, good friend. He said, Friday news dump, I don't think Daniel Jones is that bad. I'd rather have him than Josh Rosen. And then he goes on to talk about how Jones had the worst supporting cast in college football last season. That was turned in by Brian at Syracuse 1105.
You know who had a worse supporting cast than Daniel Jones?
Josh Rosen.
Right. I think the floor is probably higher for Daniel when you consider like the intangibles component. And if, you know, Josh is in a losing environment, how teammates could probably kind of to cool on him. But I think the ceiling is exponentially higher with Josh. So I will respectfully disagree with Mike on that take. Okay, so this comes from is it the Ty Smith one? Yes. Okay, sorry. It's just as we delete them, it's kind of moving them up the queue. It kind of threw me off.
All right.
Ty Smith, what are your thoughts, fellas? Hashtag tattle tweet. I like that one. Takes on takes. Ian Rappaport. Raiders coach John Gruden and GM Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend, but they are not expected to return by the draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and want to clear the room.
Well, I mean, I get this from a lot of different angles. Like, first of all, the scouts' work is basically done. They've gathered the information. They delivered it to the executives, and now it's time for the executives to make the decision. So they've kind of fulfilled their duties. Now, there's a big part of me that, you know, these guys have been grinding for, what, 10 months on the road, away from their families, trying to find this information. To include them in part of the process is something that I think is something that they kind of deserve to an extent, you know, and I'd want to reward them for that. And I'd also want to keep them nearby. That way, if I had a last minute question or something that I wanted to clarify, that I could do that and have them in the room. Now, I get the trusting, and I understand that a lot of that staff's going to get turned over here as soon as the draft is over. And so maybe there is that component of it. So I kind of get it from every angle. Although I'd like to believe that I can trust my scouts, right? Like, they're your freaking scouts. You need to be able to trust them. And so for that, like, just that basic concept and principle, I need to be able to trust my scouts. I want them to reward them for all their hard work and make them part of the process. So I would want to believe that I can keep them in the room.
This is also part of, like, the ass backwards hiring cycle for the pros, right? Like, Gruden brings on Mayock, and Mayock's the GM, but they phased out Reggie McKenzie, like, late in the game, and then you can't flush all your scouts down the toilet, so then you wait 6 months, and then you fire your scouts. It's like, shouldn't all these changes be taking place at the same time if you're going to do that? And then you're going to reference it 6 months later and say, well, you're really not our guys. We don't know who we can trust, and if you're going to say anything.
It's weird.
So that's kind of where I get frustrated with it, because it's really not in the scouts' jurisdiction. Now, if you're worried about them leaking information, you know where it's really hard to keep track of them? When they're at home. You want to stack the board without them? That's fine. But I'm having them show up on draft day. I'm having them put their phones in a basket, and I'm going to put the basket up on top of the fridge so that it's not obvious that a guy's going to whip out his phone and send a text to some of his buddies and be like, oh, this is going to go down, you know? But you send these guys home, somebody gives them a call. Hey, where do you think you guys were at on so-and-so? I feel like that just promotes as much of that spread of information as having them in the building on draft day.
Yeah, maybe more. Yeah, we're getting fired, you know?
Right. What difference does it make now?
Man, this one's so bad. From Ryan Roberts, turning in somebody. Just saw someone compare Quinnen Williams to Terrence Cody. Here's the article.
This is for trash. Proof. I read this article too. It's legit. I'm beside myself. I'm actually more upset about that than the impending death of all of my favorite characters on Game of Thrones next week.
I might watch that this summer, so.
Joe, do you realize the most important and pivotal and heavy-hitting episode in the history of the show, I'm going to be locked up in your bedroom watching it?
You know what? Here's the thing, is I've offered to make that an event for you in the living room with the nice TV, and you don't want it. You want to, like, sit in the bedroom.
If you're going to watch Game of Thrones, you can't watch the episode that is essentially the culmination of all 8 seasons and everybody dying.
I get it, but I mean, I don't have to be in the room. I'm just trying to create a great experience for you. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to close the door. I'm going to go in the bedroom, get my laptop out. I'm
going to on the bed and put my headphones in. I'm going to lay on my tummy and kick my feet up in the air. And I'm just going to watch it, like, my face 3 inches away from the monitor.
When is this on Sunday? When does this happen so I can prepare accordingly? 9 o'clock?
9 to 10:30.
It's an hour and a half?
Yeah, it's the longest episode in the history of the show.
Wow. What am I going to do?
you're not going to grind any tape. I can tell you that. We're retired from tape grind for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right. What is this? Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's my turn to give you. We got okay. two more. Right. This one comes from grinding the tape.
Jump.
Tattle takes. Takes on takes. The original take is from Danny Cannell. The road we're headed down by encouraging bat flips in baseball is followed by pitchers fist pumping and acting a fool after every strikeout. Then we've got everyone jumping around like idiots in the third inning. Who wants to see that?
Hey, I mean, I'm all for some passion and emotion and things that make baseball more interesting. You know, what's the problem here, man? I like that. I love when those hitters like, you know, blast one and they know it the second they hit the bat and then they admire it out of the field, man, and then just slow jog it around the bases. Love it. Give me a great bat flip. Give me a fist pump if you strike a guy out, man. Have some emotion. You're competing, man. If this stuff ain't fun, then what the hell are you doing? What a bad take, Danny.
If I wanted to see stoic guys flail at a ball, I'd watch golf.
He must have hated Tiger's reaction when he won the fucking Masters, man.
The horror.
Oh, a guy really cares. They've trained their asses off to win these battles, and they're happy when they do it. What? Get off my – this is even worse than get off my lawn, because I can get off my lawn. This is terrible. All right, ready for the last one?
Last one, and then we close.
What? This is from Wacko for Flacco? That's somebody's name on Twitter.
He's a Broncos fan.
I know. Wacko for Flacco at Broncos SB or bust. Man, he loves it. Okay, so this is referring to Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. This was a poll that Benjamin Albright put out on, you know, if people would rather have Russell Wilson or Ben Roethlisberger. And Wacko for Flacco said this: Wilson is a great backyard football player who won a ring with a great defense. I'll take the NFL pocket passer over Wilson. And he's referring to Ben Roethlisberger, turned in by Zach Herbert or Hey Bear. It's Hey Bear. Got to be right. There's no R before the B.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I'll take Russell Wilson 10 times out of 10. Are we talking a game? Are we talking a season?
Does it matter? In what scenario would you take Ben?
No, zero.
Right.
Absolutely zero.
No disrespect to Ben, but he's not Russ.
Right. And it all comes from if you think Russell Wilson's a great backyard player.
It's literally what Ben is.
You don't know football.
Ben's a backyard player.
Yeah.
Shrug off five guys and then heave it.
Right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that one missed the mark for me. I think that's wrong in about every way presented. What's not wrong is we're going to be back tomorrow. Battle of the boards. Joe and I, offense tomorrow, defense on Wednesday, looking at each other's boards, airing our grievances, expressing our concerns, just really taking each other to task, which will be a fun time. We're gonna have some fun with it. We always do. This will be our third year kind of picking each other's boards apart. Joe's going to harass me for 3 hours on Wednesday for Jermaine Pratt, and I'm okay with that. I don't think I have any, like last year was Tyrone Crawford, right?
Or Crowder. You already forgot his name.
But my point is, I don't believe I have any of those rankings this year where you're like beside yourself. Do you?
I got to go through this thing with a comb.
Okay. So the answer is no. You ever see Spaceballs? You ever see that movie?
No.
You got me with the comb. There's a scene in there where they say they got to comb the desert. And there's these guys out there with a giant, like, human-sized hair comb, and they're combing the sand. He said, they told us to comb the desert, so we're combing it. It made me think of Spaceballs. But I guess you had to be there, Joe.
So, but starting on Wednesday, we're going to be together for, like, 10 days in a row. So that was a good foreshadow of the amount of movie references I'm going to have to deal with over that span, right?
You guys can enjoy it too. All you got to do is hit subscribe on the Draft Dudes. Come back and see us again tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all of next week. We'll be together for a majority of that time. preferably without my motion sensor here in the living room. So all good things. Thanks for listening to DraftDudes Podcast. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.